This is Intimate Knowledge with Brooke Burke, Megan King, and sex and intimacy coach Lila DeVille. Shh. It's a show about sex.
Welcome to today's episode. We have a jam-packed episode. We're going to be interviewing two midwives from the Natural Birth Center. Their names are Glenda and Sandy. And you might have caught, this video might have caught your attention on your feed. It certainly did mine. This woman was on her way to the Natural Birth Center to give birth, but she didn't quite make it into the center and she gave birth in the parking lot. And the midwife caught the baby and it all got caught on a ring camera. So we're going to talk to those midwives about all the different variations of births that we can have as women. Oh, look, it looks like we have Brooke after all. Brooke, we're about to speak to Sandy and Jelena, who were the midwives that caught the baby in the parking lot, that video that's been going around. So,
well, I'm so happy that I could join. Sorry, there's been so many technical difficulties over here as we navigate through these Zoom connections, but I'm really excited about this episode and I didn't want to miss it because, you know, I've given birth 4 times naturally and I don't think that I was strong enough or educated enough in this space as a younger woman. And, you know, the first time around with pregnancy could be so overwhelming, and I'm not quite sure why as Americans we're not open to defining and sort of navigating a birthing plan and really understanding what a doula is, what a midwife is, the possibilities at home versus going into the hospital. And you know, I was married to a doctor the first time around. So any of my like hippy dippy spiritual, like dreamy visions that I have were just thrown out the window and defined sort of as reckless and irresponsible. So I look back now at all of my births and I know some of the experiences that you had, and you know, I wish that I would have had the strength to sort of open my mind to all of the possibilities that are available to women. So I hope that this episode really educates our audience and helps them get a better understanding of what the possibilities are.
There's a myriad. Yeah, it is. But there's a myriad of choices out there. And I think we hear the one story, we see the one narrative, and we don't really know that there's a plethora of choices to be made and they're all there. You just actually have to ask because they're not generally just presented to you.
And I think creating that space, you know, that intimate space is so important for our mindset and for our emotional well-being during the birthing process. I even remember, you know, packing the bag and getting ready to go to the hospital and thinking that I was going to have beautiful, peaceful music and I was going to light my candles and I was going to do it natural. And they were like, in the hospital, like, you can't light a candle in the hospital. I was like, what do you mean? And just not getting, you know, not necessarily getting the support that you need. And also defining who's going to be in there during that room. And it seemed like my dream was to have a very female supported space. And it ended up being, you know, my baby daddy and I and a nurse and a doctor that I didn't have a relationship with. And it was everything that I didn't want. And then it was over, but, you know, as quickly as it began.
So they don't all go to plan. And this video is a great example of that because she was not planning on having her baby in the car park.
That's right. So we found these two angel workers from the video that's just gone viral, everybody, and you should definitely check it out because it is amazing. Let's start the interview, and then I have a couple personal questions for you afterwards, Lila. So stick around, everybody.
We have two amazing guests with us today. We have Galena and we have Sandy. They're from the Natural Birth Works in Florida. And this video really caught my attention on my feed this week. You might have seen it, a ring camera capturing a woman giving birth and Sandy here catching the baby in the parking lot before even entering the birth center. So phenomenal. And not only is she catching a baby, but she is also talking to, I think, two police officers that approach. Tell us about what happened. Come on.
So, you know, just kind of like a standard day when a mom calls me that they're in labor and we typically would meet at the birth center. Mm-hmm. know, at first it seemed like things were kind of starting, but then her husband called me back and said that things are really intense. So,
yeah,
you know, my wife can tell you that if the husband calls, we know that things are getting serious. And so I had the birth center ready. I was waiting for them. Her room was all set up, and he calls me literally like as they were about to pull into the parking lot and tells me that she feels like pushing. So I grabbed some gloves, a Chuck's pad, and I went running out. And you know, at first I said, can you walk? And she's like, I think so. But I think just her getting out of the car and gravity, that baby just came right down. And as soon as we got to the first step, that was it. The head was coming. And so, you know, I can actually feel, I put my hand to feel, cause she like did a grunting noise and I can feel that the head was coming. Mm-hmm. So when I look, sure enough, and all while these two police officers just so happened to be in the other parking lot, they started walking towards us, and I was trying to let them know, like, she's okay. I heard the commotion and I didn't want them to think like I'm just a random stranger, you know, delivering a baby.
Totally.
The birth center doesn't look like, it's not a hospital, right? So you can't identify like what the building is right away. And so that's why.
And you know, for our listeners, it's worth seeing this video that has absolutely gone viral, because to witness this, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And I was imagining the thought process of these two police officers as well, who have also probably never been in a position to, you know, to observe such a thing. I mean, what an amazing miracle, and just, it was unbelievable. So go on.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can see in a part of the video where the male officer looks at the building and he reads it and he realizes, oh, this is the birth center, but they had no clue. And so, you know, they're coming towards me, the woman is putting her gloves on, he's like on the radio, and I'm trying to let them know, like, you don't need to call back up, you don't need to
come here.
He didn't ask me. At some point, he asked me, do you need rescue? And I was like, no, she's here to have the baby.
It was meant to happen.
Yeah, I believe fully that they come in exactly the way that they want to come into the world. So,
well, her first one wasn't as quick. And I think that she wasn't prepared for this. None of us really were prepared.
Well, we have second babies typically are quick in our experience. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're usually not that precipitous, as we would call it.
I think most women are prepared for the birthing process. As much educating that we do, and you know, I've had four children, and there's always that first time plan and the visual of how you think it's going to go down. You know what I mean? And then you sort of forget everything that you've read and everything that you've learned in Mother Nature. You know, more than not,
takes, yeah,
of course. But that was just amazing to see how quickly it happened. And I mean, what's your take on that for a woman who like really struggles? I know that it's such a process in the body and such a miracle of what takes place, but it was almost over before the mother even got to experience the process. How would you describe what you do and what you offer to a woman going through the laboring process in comparison to a nurse in a hospital?
So the midwives offer personalized, very intimate care towards all of our clients. It is based on the midwifery model of care. We, you know, spend a lot more time with all of our clients. We really get to know each other on a more personal level. And that makes a huge difference, especially when it comes down to labor and birth, because, you know, a birthing mother is very vulnerable. And if your mind is not in the right place, it is definitely going to present in your labor progress and your birth outcome. And so if you feel completely comfortable, safe, and, you know, prepared for the whole process, which is what we do throughout the whole course of their pregnancy, it really does help the whole outcome in general with, you know, not just birth, but even in the postpartum and in breastfeeding and just overall.
Yeah, I think we're commonly shown just that one way of giving birth. Like you see the woman in the hospital, she's gritting, she's bearing down, and it's a really lengthy process. It's a lot of pain. And we have this like narrative that we kind of all like take on to think, oh, this is how birth happens. And that's what's so miraculous about this video, actually, is that here's a woman who's like in the car on her way to the center, yet she gives birth in the car park, and she's not necessarily in that comfortable position. She has a really rapid birth. And so that's one way of experiencing
it. I wouldn't call that a comfortable position being on a bed anyway, honestly. When I was
totally. Not one down. Well, that's the thing. Like I have two kids. Both of them are planned home births. I had two home water births, and they were planned in that way. But a lot of women, I was really lucky in that I had a few women go before me in their birth journey, and I saw how they were navigating it, and I saw the different choices they were making outside of the common way of giving birth. And if that hadn't have happened, I don't think I would have known what to ask for or to tune into what environment will I feel the safest. Like I actually relate birth a lot to making love. Like you want to be in a space where you feel comfortable enough to make love, to have that intimacy with your partner, and wherever you feel the safest to do that, that's probably where you should give birth. So whether it's a hospital, a birthing center, or a home, you know, or out in nature, that could be an option too. So like there's all of these different options.
I love that you did that and that you're able to have that experience. I've had four children and delivered them all naturally. And in my first marriage, I was married to a doctor who had zero interest in my comfort in my birthing plan and, you know, straying in any way, shape, or form away from normal, you know, medicine in our country. And I had dreamt of having birth and doing it at home. And I had all of these very peaceful ideas. And unfortunately, as a young woman, I lost that battle and probably didn't know the right things to ask. I wasn't experienced enough in that process. And my daughter ended up being 5 weeks premature. And had I have done it at home, it would have been a disaster. So, and I bring this up just because there's a lot of controversy around this. And it was, you know, absolutely imperative in that first situation that I gave birth in the hospital, and there were some, you know, complications. But I think it's so important for women to get educated and to know their options and to find strength in their plan and their own desires and sort of, you know, narrating what their wishes are for that, you know, for that day.
I think that's why we're so happy that the video has gone so viral. And yes, it's funny and it's empowering to women, but it sheds light on the unknown that a lot of women don't realize that there is. I know my oldest is 18. I wasn't even a midwife then. I had no idea what a midwife was.
I agree.
And bad experiences, but not even having the knowledge and the option really takes away from what could have been a very different experience for me the first time around. Instead, I had to wait till my fifth to be able to experience it, you know.
And would you ladies agree also in like a really simple form too, that there's something to be said about the support of female energy in the birthing process, right? Having a woman there guiding and supporting you. I mean, I remember giving birth to my first child and I wanted to go natural, and I kept thinking the nurses were going to support my process, even if I was in pain. And honest to God, they were all like, when you've had enough, Brooke, just let us know. Like they practically had the drugs like available in hand. And I was like, that's not what I want. What I want you to say is that I'm doing great and that I can do it.
You can do it.
Support me as a woman. And that doesn't happen in the hospital because they want to make it easier for themselves and for the mother. I was really disappointed in my first birth.
We all carry something from each birth. And I think that in general makes us the mothers that we are. We were just talking about that. And in one of our videos, Galina and I talked about what really made us, you know, what pushed us to be midwives. And that was definitely my experience with my first son in the hospital, not having those options. And, you know, saying that I did want a water birth and being told as a young mom that I was going to kill my baby. Like literally that's what they told me. So it was a lack of knowledge, a lack of support, a lack of education. And I remember just after that birth, it wasn't horrible, but I felt like there was something missing, that there was something that I didn't get out of it that I should have. And then, you know, that kind of like put the fire in me to really move forward with my career as a midwife. Mm. And Alina has five kids and she's had plenty of different birth stories to also attest to that. And so going back to what you were saying in regards to you know, how she said, you know, she looks at birth as like very intimate, and you're using the same hormones. And if you don't have that feeling of being safe, you're not going to be able to release those right hormones. And we tell that to all of our clients. We occasionally will have moms that are basically saying, so how many people can I have in the room? Like, they want it to be like a show. And we tell them, listen, when you made this baby, no one was watching. I mean, listen, each is all,
you know,
maybe
usher into that, you know.
Basically, no one was watching, and you were able to release those hormones to make that baby. It's the same thing. And when we explain it that way, they tend to get it and they understand the difference.
Yeah, it's like, imagine trying to orgasm and then someone walking into the room in that very moment. It's like, oh I'm not, it's on. It's on.
Yeah, exactly. See you later.
Yeah. I had that experience.
Lila, what was your decision-making process to decide to do a home birth and a water birth? And just curious where you found that strength and how you were able to really dictate that environment.
I had quite a few women go before me, and I saw the decisions and the calls that they were making, and I was like, oh, this has the potential to be my most empowered moment, and I don't want anybody to take that away from me. And so I guess I took a few risks, and in America as well, when you're not going along with the flow of birth or the conveyor belt of birth, and you're making different decisions, you're kind of bucking against the system. And to be able to do that, you need to be really centered in yourself, and you have to really like go inward and listen. And so it was really a process of me tuning into my intuition, and I surrounded myself with other women who would champion that, the listening, me listening, not thinking that they know more than what I do about my baby. And so one of the really important things, and maybe you guys might echo this, is that when you're planning for a home birth, there's a myriad of things that can come up whilst you're at home giving birth. And in that case, then the plan changes. And so it's not that you're putting your baby at risk by birthing at home. You can change your mind at any moment and go to a birthing center or go where there's more facilities. There's usually enough time and to make those kind of calls. And midwives are incredibly trained at, you know, at combating some of these things that pop up in birth, whether there's excessive bleeding or whether the cord is wrapped around the neck or the heart rate's accelerated of the baby. And so they're fully trained to be able to mitigate all of the complications. And if there needs to be another call where you have to go to the hospital, then, you know, that's part of the plan too. Like when I planned for a home birth, it wasn't just like, I'm just having a home birth, I'm not leaving. I actually planned for a home birth. I planned for a hospital birth. We all knew exactly where I was going if there was a complication and we needed more help and support. And so I feel like I created an incredibly safe container, especially because that's where I felt the safest, was at home. I just believed that my baby was going to come through in the way that he or she wanted to. And that might mean that they wanted me to go to the hospital and have them there. And so there was,
you come from a very educated place. Like you couldn't, like, we literally couldn't have said it better. I think it's important that people understand that if they are planning one path, it's not a failure if you do have to switch to a different location. Yeah. Like, for example, Brooke went into labor 5 weeks early. That's not a failure that she couldn't do the birth that she wanted. It was something that's the whole purpose of having a trained professional monitoring your care, so that they can say, okay, well, this has happened. Now we got to switch course to this course. And that's not a bad course. Yep. It's just the new one that we had to take, you know, and, exactly. And the skill and knowledge is important.
I'm so glad you're saying that. And you just answered my question, Lila, as well, because I was going to ask what happens in an unexpected case of maybe a medical emergency. And I think that's why many people aren't brave enough to have home births. But the fact that you explored all of those options and put your faith in a midwife, you know, doula, who is actually more experienced than many people might be aware of to problem solve, it's nice to hear that perspective. And I also think that there's something to be said about women really finding their voice and tuning into their you know, their own desires in this process that's overwhelming, and really spending some time to think about how they would like it to be. Not that we can completely predict that experience, but I think pregnancy is overwhelming, especially first time pregnancies, and everybody's telling you how to do it, and everybody has an opinion, and everybody in the family chimes in. And it's just so frightening and overwhelming.
And this is why I love midwives. I love you guys, because your emphasis is on empowered birth. I think every midwife I've ever known, it's not about having a home birth. It's not about, all it is about is the woman feeling her most empowered and facilitating that. So, whatever that is for her, her most empowered choice could be to have an epidural and be in the hospital, or even to have a C-section. And so it's really about facilitating how the mother's going to feel the most empowered and informing her.
It's so important for moms and families in general to understand that, because we often will have families that are not on board, and that really makes her choose whether she goes the way that she wants or the conventional way. Yeah. And I often, in, you know, if I have a meet and greet with a mom, I will often say, you know, our goal is to put the power back in your hands. We are here to empower you so that you can make the educated decision and choice that you feel is right for you and your baby. And I tell them, I've had my experiences. I've had my births. This is your birth. And so a lot of times, you know, especially if I say that in front of a partner that's kind of on the fence, sometimes they'll realize, you know, this is true. And, you know, maybe I just need to kind of have an open mind. And we've had quite a few partners that at first they were like, I don't know. And then afterward, they're like, I don't think we'll ever go to the hospital. And so it really makes an impact on everyone.
But it's about building relationships too. You know, like the midwife, that's why we like them early on. We have to really build the relationship. So one, they can be as educated as you, but also have the relationship so that when plan B has to pick up, which every midwife has a plan B, C, D, E, and F. But when that happens, you trust that, you know, we already know your birth plan. We know what you are looking for. And in your most vulnerable state, which is labor, if things have to change quickly, you know, we have your best interests and we're communicating with you, and you've already, like, we include childbirth classes. Like, we're so controlling about the whole thing. It's like, you're taking our classes. We want to make sure you know how to do a natural birth. You know, we don't want, but I mean, we encourage them to go and, you know, explore all options like hypnobirthing, things that can benefit them, but definitely taking classes from your midwife. So, you know, her philosophy, you know, how she is preparing you properly. You're getting educated. And in the end, we always tell people, we are a book, we're a resource, just flip through us and use us. Like, that's the purpose. You're supposed to educate through us. So ask us the questions, start getting empowered so that on birthday, whatever happens, we're on the same page, we have a good relationship, and it turns out no matter what path, you're still happy and you and baby are safe.
And what a blessing to have someone supporting, advocating for your personal birth plan. I mean, that in itself seems like such an incredible comfort. Mm-hmm. Just a question for you. Is a doula and a midwife the same thing?
No.
Okay, can we talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think people are aware of the differences in these terms.
So we get this question often, and the difference is, you know, midwives are trained medical professionals. We are definitely going to comfort our moms and our families, and we are going to, you know, remind them different ways to breathe and, you know, give some recommendations during the labor process. However, we need to make sure that our moms and babies are safe by taking care of them medically, and through the whole prenatal, labor, birth, and postpartum process. Whereas doulas are there so that they can educate the moms, support them physically, emotionally, mentally. They're there to support the partner, kind of remind the partner of certain things that he can do or she can do to, you know, to support that the mom while she's in labor. Hey, let's try this position. Let's drink some water. Let's get a snack. So they're really there to support through the whole process of comfort and feeling secure. And honestly, when doulas and midwives work together, it's such an amazing team, because then they have the best of both worlds. We love doulas, but there are some midwives that would prefer not to have doulas, and that's their choice. But we personally love doulas. Yeah. I think that I had both asset to the you whole did. Natural process. Oh, you had a doula? Awesome.
I did. I did, because I also, you know, like when a woman is bleeding, how another woman can kind of ride that cycle with her and know what she's feeling, even without, like my husband can't do that.
Right.
So I knew there was going to be some.
They don't know what it's like.
They don't know what it's like. And so I knew there was going to be some barrier, and I knew that he wasn't going to be able to ride my wave with me. I think I had a feeling, you know, my first birth was 36 hours, not active, 16 hours active, but I was at home knowing that I was in, you know, having contractions for 36 hours, and he can't ride that with me. Like, there's no way. So I knew he was going to have to like rest. And so to have a backup and to have a woman with me, and I in my first birth, I had my doula with me more than my husband. Mm-hmm. And she was fully informed of all of my choices and everything that I wanted, so that if he wasn't there, then she, you know, they worked together a lot, but he slept a lot. Like, he was.
Lila, what's your advice to give to women in helping them find their voice in dictating who they want by their side, who their support system is, who they want in the room? Because I think a lot of women just surrender and almost just like give in to everybody else's desires, the in-laws, the mother-in-law, the family. I mean, what would you say to women to help them find their strength?
It all comes in centering and being able to listen to yourself and knowing what's your story and what's someone else's and what's like the collective. I think it's really important also to explore your own birth story.
Yes.
Like, I think this is a really good time to kind of delve into how you were born. Also for your partner to discover how he was born or how she was born as well. And to know where those barriers are and where those like kinks are that would lean you in, and the fears where you'd like maybe want to lean more into like having a hospital situation rather than giving birth at home. And not that one is better than the other, but wherever you feel safest. But you have to be able to listen to yourself, and so surrounding yourself with people who are going to allow that. You know, there was many people who came into my life during my pregnancy. It was like, you're crazy. You're like, this is really irresponsible what you're doing. And I would just like drop into my body. I would listen to my baby and myself and just go, oh no, like I know, like I have that connection. So you have to really kind of decipher what's yours, what's somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And kind of, I learned boundaries in a huge way when I was pregnant. And I think that's perfect preparation for motherhood, because you need to have them. I also, like I said, I'm a sex and intimacy coach. So I liken birth a lot to sex and the comfort level of what you would need to feel really safe in birth is really similar to having sex. And so when you're discovering who you want around you in birth, think about who would I be comfortable going to the toilet in front of? Who was like sitting there watching me shit out a watermelon or something.
It takes
like,
the words out of our mouth.
Literally verbatim.
Like, I'm not even kidding.
Like, it's hard for a lot of women to just get over that and to get out of their own way to even be able to push, myself being one of them. The first time around, I was like, oh my goodness, I had no interest in having my man in there. It just felt like a very female energy that I was desiring.
And that's okay.
And I wasn't strong enough to tell, to really narrate that. And I listened to your experience, Lila, and I have such envy. And I did it 4 times. And I don't know that I was tapped into my inner voice enough as a younger woman to be able to do that. And I also learned to expect the unexpected. I mean, each birth was very, very different. And, you know, looking back, my wish for women would be to really spend some time with themselves and to tap in and listen, because it's the most beautiful moment in the world. And it can also be terrifying.
It can be the most empowering moment, and it can be the most traumatic moment.
And it can definitely leave an imprint in the rest of your life, because I had a lot of guilt from not just my breastfeeding experience with my first, and that carried over into my second. And I remember finding closure. However, I tell moms all the time, you know, if you are not really doing what you feel is right, you're going to remember that feeling for a long time.
Yeah.
And even in breastfeeding, I'm a board certified lactation consultant, and I see it all the time. if they, let's say, didn't have the birth plan that they wanted, it goes into breastfeeding and that whole experience. And then they have a lot of, you know, guilt, or they beat themselves up about it because they failed. And we really have to take those words out of mom's vocabulary, because we are not failures. We are doing the best that we can as mothers. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I try to instill in all of my moms, whether it goes exactly as planned or it didn't, you know, and that's always a message that I try to send.
I think it's important to also say that doing podcasts like this and doing the interviews and sharing these experiences, this is other women is what empowers other women. Yeah. And if we don't talk about it and we don't share it, you know, the old rituals of like blessing ways and things that used to have women come together and share their stories to make them strong for birthday, they don't exist that much anymore. Yeah, and so although we try to bring back the lost art, these are the modern ways of bringing back the lost art of sharing and lifting other women up.
That's beautiful. The lost art. I love that.
And, you know, like when you think about the stories that you hear about birth, they're overwhelmingly negative.
Yes.
And those are all internalized. So the fear that you feel of, like, even when you see this woman giving birth just getting out of the car in the car park, like, you know, it's very real, but it's also just a story that we've internalized. And so if we can decipher what's ours, I think that's like, that's a huge step in the right direction of knowing what's yours, but also just being able to listen to your own yeses and nos and where your limits and your boundaries are.
Each pregnancy makes a woman stronger, I've noticed. Like, you know, the first pregnancy, you're like, oh, I wanted all these people there. And then by the second pregnancy, like Sandy's experience with baby number two, mm-hmm. she was like, no one's even going to know that the baby has arrived for like a week. Yeah.
And it's true. I didn't tell anybody.
Right.
I didn't tell my family that they had. I'm Hispanic, and I don't know if you know the Hispanic culture can be very overwhelming, and everyone has an opinion, and mm-hmm. the entire family, distant family, people I haven't seen in years, all of a sudden want to show up and visit and hold the baby. And I was super overwhelmed with my first. And my second, I had my older one. I wanted him to be a part of the whole experience. And I didn't tell anybody that I had the baby until a week later.
No, it's so true. I did something similar too. I was overwhelmed. I wanted to lay in bed naked with my naked baby, diaper off, two of us, everybody leave me alone. Don't call, don't come, don't show up, don't send anything. Just leave us alone so we can have an entry into this new world. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, I did the same. I allowed people to come. They weren't allowed to request to hold the baby. They were allowed to drop off food.
Yes.
That's the only thing I could do. Drop off food and leave.
Or do laundry.
All of our moms do. Like, Delina, with her fits, she did an amazing schedule for people. Delina, let's explain what you did.
I'm a weird schedule person, though. Like, I love, organization helps me thrive in life, right? So I was like, okay, when I have the baby, I have four other children, and I was, you know, working, I was a midwife. So in order to make it work, I was like, on this, this, and this day, you can sign up for delivery of food to me, or you can do laundry or something else. But I was not going to let people take over and make me feel like I owed them to be like a hostess somehow. It wasn't going to happen this time around. And that was also when I had a midwife. So the whole experience was most empowering, and it led me to become a more empowered mom. And that's, you know, they kind of go hand in hand.
I love that. They're all so different. I mean, I was out 3 days later with one. I mean, usually you never know. Like, each one is so vastly different. This is incredible information, ladies. I love that. And we're going to put the information too in the info area of this podcast so that everybody can have a chance to see this incredible video that took place outside of Natural Birth Works. It's just amazing. Gravity, life, you know, expect the unexpected. That would be my advice to all women.
I also want to know, how can we support you more? I know that right now a lot of people aren't wanting to go to the hospital necessarily to have their babies. Maybe a lot of people are, you know, thinking about giving birth at home. And your services are so vital in supporting that for women. So how can we support you, and how can we find you?
We have a few different outlets. We actually have a YouTube video that we post every week so that we can educate our moms. It really started so that our moms could have extra information that we may not have been able to cover, like in our visits, or like certain questions that we would get asked in mm-hmm. Albert classes. And so we wanted it to be more of an educational way of our moms, our clients, to be able to find those answers. And so we have all of our social media outlets. So we have our YouTube channel, we have our, you know, Facebook and Instagram, where we often will try to communicate with people. Messages and questions are always coming in, and so we try our best to keep up with them.
Yeah, and we also post like data and stuff, so people learn the safety and benefit of midwifery care.
Yes.
And just spreading the word is what we just need to have. It needs to be more normal here. You know, midwives should be the first step for low risk women. And if risk factor presents, then they should get referred to level two if need be, you know?
Amazing.
It's a great way.
Amazing. So your Natural Birth Works, is that your handle?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Love it.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you for the work that you do.
Love what you do.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Bye. Have a good one.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too. So that was super informative, and I really hope that listening, that you get the idea that there are a lot of choices to be had. And you know, there were a few pivotal resources that really helped me. One of them is a book called Gentle Birth, Gentle Mothering. It's by an Australian doctor, and I highly recommend that you read that book. It goes through kind of all the different choices that you can possibly make. And she is a doctor as well, so she has that background. And so it's not like a hippy-dippy kind of take on birth. It's really grounded. So that was really informative to me. So there's that one. And another one, Inna Mae Gaskins has like a plethora of books also about midwifery, natural childbirth. And so they're amazing as well. So I highly recommend checking those out.
So, I mean, I think that vanity and ego should sort of be thrown out the window when it comes to labor and delivery, because I think it really gets in the way for women. And when I look back at my first, second, third birth, you know, as a younger woman, I had so many concerns and fears and issues that it almost took me out of the experience. And I love so much what you said about the correlation between sex and birth, because that comfort level, that connection, that intimacy would have helped me so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a really layered one. Like when I say, like for me, when I was giving birth, every time someone entered the room, it changed my experience. Mm-hmm. And it slowed everything down. So, you know, and also just have like, you're pregnant for 9 months for a reason. Like this is the preparation for the birth and entering motherhood. So this is really the time to have those conversations and to voice the fears so that you're not facing them when you're in the birth space. So saying to your partner, like, I'm really scared that I'm going to crap and have a shit or something while I'm giving birth, and you're going to get grossed out by that. Yeah, exactly. This is the time to have that. And
some women are afraid to even push because of that the fear of that type of accident. And it goes back to what we talk about every single episode: open the lines of communication, talk about your fears, talk about your concerns, connect with whoever that person is that's going to be sharing that experience with you, so that you're on the same page, so that you can forget about that and be in the experience.
Yeah, like if you're thinking, like in sex, if you're thinking about, oh, do my thighs look fat, and is he going to see those creases or cellulite that I don't want him to see, then you're not going to be in the experience, and it's going to take you out. And so the whole preparation around birth is about creating an experience where you can go in and where you feel really safe. Like, it's 100%. Likely, yeah, it's like, think about going to the toilet in front of someone and create have the people there that you'd feel comfortable enough doing that. Like, I vetoed a lot of people from my birth who wanted to be there. And I was like, you know what, it's not going to be helpful for me. It's actually going to be dangerous for me if
you're stronger than most. And so if we go back to the ultimate vulnerability of sex, the orgasm, birth, all of these incredibly beautiful, life-changing experiences, if we can just, you know, surrender in those moments and be present in them.
And be able to listen, you know.
And listen.
And Yeah.
So informative. I absolutely loved this episode. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Yeah, you too. It's perfect.
And we will see all of you next week.
Subscribe to Intimate Knowledge on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.